This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Jesus Christ as King is a massive theme for Christians in the week leading up to Christmas. It's a theme which began last week with the reading I'm about to read to you this morning from John 18, 33 to 37, where we see what a Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, thinks of the prisoner Jesus who stands before him. We see Jesus through his eyes this week, and I'll be asking what this has to do with us in today's world. Here's that reading. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "Ah, so you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Whenever I hear this reading, I'm taken back to my days as a schoolteacher, walking along to the local swimming pool with a group of school children. That was when one of them challenged me to compose a rap. He knew I enjoyed composing songs. Once I had looked up what rap was in those days and listened to a cassette of his, this gospel reading was the very text I chose to write about. Here are the children performing it.
Do you have any clues? Do you ask me this?
king in those days had absolute authority and was all-powerful, nothing like the constitutional monarchs we have today, who mustn't assert their influence over the will of the people. A king's subjects, way back then and throughout history, owed their king full allegiance in all matters, such as taxes, food provision, the call to arms, and so on. The common people had no right to contest or limit his power. No other usurper was allowed to take the ruler's place. When the Romans in Judea heard all the rumours that the long-awaited king of the Jewish nation had arrived at last, they must have felt threatened. They would have been very much aware of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, cheered on by crowds of people yelling out, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" Nothing would have escaped their notice. But perhaps they asked, was this man Jesus really a descendant and heir of David, their greatest king? Jesus must have been something of an enigma to them. Now that Jesus had been arrested by the elders and brought before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, the first question he asks him is, "Are you the king of the Jews?" All authority belonged to Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem at this point in time, and Caesar was absolute king, no other. But it's clear as we read today's scripture that Pilate becomes very curious about this man before him, who claims authority from a different kind of kingdom. He discovers that Jesus is not the upstart or the madman he had expected to encounter, but instead he seems to be the one with an air of mystery around him, the one with quiet confidence, the one actually controlling the conversation, the one who was not fazed by the fact that a death sentence hung over his head, and the one who spoke of truth when the others who had condemned him were not. William Barclay, a famous author and theologian, once said, "Jesus was never more regal than at his trial."
God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Earth and eternal, faithful and true, who bought the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in prayer. And
That song there was Jarrod Cooper singing King of Kings, Majesty. Pontius Pilate, according to scripture, acted as though he was trying to rid himself of the responsibility of actually condemning Jesus to death. He had sent him to Herod for judgment. After all, Jesus was one of his subjects. But Herod sent him back. Neither seemed to want to handle this hot potato. Pilate had also scourged Jesus with 39 lashes to see if this would appease the crowd instead. But still they howled out for blood. When Jesus re-emerged, all bloodied and clad like a king with a crown of thorns and cloak, he was heard to say, Ecce homo, behold the man. Better translated, now here's a real man. But then Pilate offers to release one prisoner, seeing as it's a special Jewish festival. But the crowd still shout out for a murderer rather than him. The Jewish leaders then have to accuse him of being disloyal to Caesar if he doesn't make a decision and put Jesus to death. So Pilate in the end washes his hands to absolve himself of the guilt of putting an innocent man to death. Was Pilate superstitious? You see, being a Roman, he would have respected and feared all the gods, and if indeed this man was the Son of God, as some were calling him, as well as king, then he wouldn't have wanted to risk divine displeasure. Besides, there's also a strange passage in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, which tells us that when Pilate was still sitting on the judgment seat before he passed final verdict on Jesus, his wife sent him a message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I've suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. So Pilate had come to a crossroad in his life. He had a decision to make. Let's listen to a song called Which Way Do I Go by Richard Hawley.
All men trust this side, the jungles of this life. Now I'm asking, which way do I go? Some directions, please. Solid ground is all I need. Won't you tell me which way do I go? Which way do I go? I've been living upside down, never knowing where I'm bound. Asking which way do I go? Which way do I go? Is it high or low? Back in time it would be alright. I knew where I was going for once in my life. Now that storm has felled my tree. Oh, there's a shadow hanging on.
So here is Jesus on trial before Pilate, and his wife's dream seems to back up his summation of his character, that this man is innocent. Should he set him free, he will have an ugly riot in his hands, resulting in the loss of his position and possibly many deaths should his soldiers have to re-establish order. He makes his choice. And so the name of Pontius Pilate was passed on down through history as the one who put Jesus to death. But his innocence was well documented too in the washing of his hands. It comes to us all to make a decision just like Pilate's when faced with the idea of Jesus as king. Here's a lovely song called Oh Praise the Name by Anastasis.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Son of heaven rose again. Oh, tremble death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh,
so our choice is quite simple, really. Do we allow this king, Jesus, to have absolute authority over us in all things, or do we reject him? There can be no washing of hands, no sitting on the fence. Jesus is either a king or he isn't. The Bible teaches us that Jesus will come again as king one day in great glory to sit in the judgment seat himself over us all. And he will want to know how we have lived our lives and whether we've obeyed his commands. The parable you're about to hear from Matthew 25 reads like a sequel to this gospel today, and it tells us about Jesus' second coming and what his commands were. The parable of the sheep and goats.
When the Son of Man in glory comes and sits upon his throne, he'll gather all the nations in and let his mind be known. For like a shepherd he will make a sheep and goat divide. He'll put his sheep upon his right, the goats his left hand side. Say to those upon his right, come all my faithful ones, heirs of the Father, blessed by him, your inheritance has come. I was hungry and you fed me, my dreadful thirst assuaged. You made the stranger welcome, all my troubles you allayed. You clothed me, gave me comfort, when ill gave love so free. And when in prison I was lost, you came to visit me. When you did this to the very least of all my family, you did it not just unto them, you did it unto me. The others he will say, eternal fire will be your lot, now is your judgment day. I was hungry, I was thirsty, you sought a self instead. I was a lonely stranger, but you turned away your head. I needed clothes and I was ill, you did not heed my cries. And when in prison I was lost, you left me there to die. When you ignored the very least of all my family, not only did you not help them, you gave no help to me.
That parable asks, have we been reconcilers, healers of broken relationships? Have we treated people as we would want to be treated? Have we cared for others and served all people without discrimination, particularly the poor, the disadvantaged, the outcast, the exile, the oppressed? And have we been generous? And have we been good stewards of God's creation? Has Jesus been to us King of our hearts, our minds, and our souls? Has he been King in name only? Or not at all? It's not too late to turn things around in our lives. Here's a song to end our programme today called King of My Heart by Matt Redman. Thank you so much for tuning in to New Day Dawning this morning. This is Sheila Hamill, along with Andrew Ridgwick, my technician. Here he is.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
King of my heart, King of my soul, you are the one that I live for. No other name, no other throne, it's you alone. King of my heart, King of my soul, I'll make a joyful surrender.